Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The A-List Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into this episode of the A-List Podcast. I'm Kwani Lunis. As every week, I'm joined by Gary Washburn and H-Rod Blakely. Hello. Hello. How are you two doing?
We're wonderful, Kwani. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
What's up, Kwani?
Gary is already... I'm sorry.
I know. Gary's already checked out.
Goofy mood. All right. We'll talk about the Celtics. I know that's what you guys want to hear. The Celtics off to a 3-0 start. What have you gained so far? They defeated the Wizards on Monday afternoon. That's the most recent game. So we could just start with that one. Jaylen Brown's 36 points, 8 for 13 on three. Tatum with 33 points. What do you think about this team? It's three games in. We're going to have to overreact every single week now.
Well, they already got the championship. They got the week one championship already locked up, obviously.
And the in-season tournament.
Exactly. Now, they're balling out. They're doing the things that you're supposed to do when you're the favorite. I like, and Joe Mazzulla has talked about this a little bit, about just the way they've approached games. They have a very business-like mindset. They're just going out there handling business. The thing I loved about the Washington game was that Washington was very undermanned in the middle, in the front court, due to injuries and things like that. The Celtics played bully ball for that first quarter to build that lead up. I mean, you saw Tatum in the post. You saw Jaylen in the post. Jrue Holiday in the post. Guys were just basically bullying their way to the basket, and that opened things up on the perimeter. And for me, that was a great example of what happens when you have a game plan executed well and you take it to that next level. For them, it was simply establishing control of the game with your inside play, and then that opens things up on the perimeter, which, you know, Jaylen, Jason, and, you know, all those guys were able to really make Washington pay from the perimeter. And that's the way you got to do it if you're the Celtics. I mean, you have to put your foot on people's necks when you have that opportunity, particularly when you're playing a weak team like Washington.
I thought that they really took care of business early. They knocked the team out. Remember, Washington had beaten Memphis two nights before pretty good, right? Washington is a team that's young, rebuilding, but they still got Jordan Poole who can drop 30. They still have Kyle Kuzma who can drop 30. Tyus Jones is a pretty good point guard. Like, they're, how do I put this? They're not trash. They're not a trash team. They're just a rebuilding team with some talent, and they got some guys who, you know, Corey.
Respectfully, they're not a trash team, right?
I was waiting for
them. Respectfully. First of all, they're not a trash team.
Second of all.
They're not a trash
team. They're not a trash team. But they're going to go to the lottery. Like, they're in rebuild mode, right? I feel bad for my guy Wes Unseld up there. They gave him a job, and then they trade Beal, and now he's got a bunch of kids, and it's like new, you know, he's on the hook, you know, maybe on the hot seat for maybe the first coach to get fired after Billy Donovan in Chicago, because just like they want to go fresh and new, and Unseld's kind of caught in the middle. But that could have been a trap game for the Celtics, right? I mean, just as Wednesday against Indiana is a good club, so we'll see how that goes. But it could have been a trap game. They could have struggled. They've had their slip-ups in Washington. It's not have been a place that they've won consistently over the years. They've had ups and downs, and they came here and took care of business. Jumped out 37-11. The crowd got into it, and I was there, and it was like, I would say, like, 2/3 Celtic crowd in there, if not more. Like, there was all types of Celtic fans in the house right behind the bench. It was like Celtic South in that joint, because obviously the Wizards fans are just coming to watch basketball. They don't expect to win. Here come the Celtics with Tatum. I mean, them dudes come out, like, they was cheering like they was the Globetrotters or whatever. I mean, it was crazy to see the environment. Usually, I mean, there's road venues that the Celtics go on and there's good amount of fans there. L.A., there's some in San Francisco, but Washington might be the one that's the most overwhelming because there's like
the ratio's off.
Yeah, not all that many Wizards fans. I think people are going because they just want to watch basketball. You know, there's not a lot of diehard Wizards fans going to the games. So the Celtics fans took over. So it was a good environment. And for them to show up and punch them in the mouth, put the, hey, we taking care of you. And then, as we know, Joe Mazzulla has a very good memory, and he still kicks himself over that loss to Brooklyn last year where they led by 28 points in the first half. They were doing all this trickery stuff and behind-the-back passes and dunks, and they were playing with the game, and they ended up losing the game by 10, right? And that was just something that he never forgot. So I like the way that the team kept their foot on Washington's neck in the third quarter. They're up 28, I think, or 26 at halftime, and then they just go on, jump on an 8-0 run to begin the third quarter. Like, nah, y'all ain't chipping away here. You're not doing this. And then by the time the starters went out, the Celtics are up 33. Now we can talk about the bench in the fourth quarter because that got ugly. And it shouldn't have been 126-107. The Wizards shouldn't have got 100 points in that game. But I like the way that the Celtics took care of business. And I just think the business-like approach is there. Jalen was hot. Smoking hot from the three. Tatum kind of came in and it was interesting. And we, you know, but it was like you could see Jordan Poole, and he ain't Golden State no more. But he got the green light to do all his, you know, melee, all his chaos, all his, you know, silly stuff, taking 30 footers, making bad passes. And then Kuzma kind of was trying to turn this into like a one on one with Tatum. But Tatum
never works.
Yeah, Tatum is better, and Kuzma's 3 years older. Like, if you really realize they're from the same draft, but Kuzma was 22 when he got drafted, and Tatum was 19. Infamously, so Tatum's like a superstar, 19. And Kuzma's still trying to find Kuzma 28. But you could tell how he was going at Tatum, and how he was trying to make it kind of like, I got, like, nah, man, it's my night. And Jason put it on him in the third quarter to kind of, you know, to get, because, you know, Jalen get 36. Jason's like, okay, I got to get my 30, right? So Jason got his 30, and they both left the game. And, you know, to me, I thought it was a good litmus test for a team. We've known the Celtics to struggle with lesser teams over the years, including last year. Remember, they lost those two games to Orlando at home, and that kind of started a real bad skid. So I was impressed with the way they handled business, and they got, you know, their schedule over the next, you got Indiana, Brooklyn, and then Minnesota, teams they should beat. So let's see how they handle those.
Gary, you did mention the bench, though. We can just get right into that as well. What more are you looking to see from the Celtics in their, quote, supposed depth?
I'm looking.
And Gary, first of all, be respectful. And second of all, respectfully, what do you have to say?
First of all,
me, so myself, funny. I think that I think they need to score. Okay, how about hit a basket?
That's breaking news.
Like, hit a basket. Like, Horford is the only one who off the bench who is scoring. And it is three games in. They got plenty of time, but how many open shots can Hauser and Pritchard miss? They are combined 4-for-25 from the three-point line in the early season. And basically, yesterday, the fourth quarter, you know, you team blows out one team. Both teams put in their end-of-the-bench guys, two-way guys, dudes, non-guaranteed. So dudes is playing hard, right? And so the Wizards just played harder. They were tougher, like, this Eugene Obajimi guy, this dude had 14 points in like 9 minutes. Like, there was one play where, like, Cornette had a rebound, had the ball, and like, dude just grabbed it from him and took it from him. Like, Luke, fight for the ball. Like, you're 7 foot, be tougher. Like, I didn't like their energy. you know, I like Lamar Stevens came in and made some, did some good things, but Delano Blanton was a minus 17. Hauser missing countless open threes. Pritchard missing open threes. Like, those shots have to go down. You do not want your starting lineup to be worn the hell out by come April. Like, you got to have bit more bench support. You got to hit buckets. And if they have to go out and get another bucket getter, then I'm not saying they're going to do it now. We're not even in November yet. November's tomorrow. So give them plenty of time. But I'm just not encouraged by we saw a playoff P, preseason P with Pritchard, and he ain't carried that over to the regular season. And Hauser getting in open threes. He hit two, but he missed his first six. Then he had two late ones, really late garbage time. But he's going to get open shots, and so is Pritchard. They have to hit those to make defenses respect them. And then I'm not sure Sherrod's buddy, O'Shea Brissett, I think he had a real positive impact against Miami, not so much against the Wizards. He's not shooting well. And I saw him that game in Indiana where he hit seven threes against the Celtics, so he's capable. Banton, I still don't know about. I don't know, and maybe they sent him to the G League. I don't know why he didn't put Jordan Walsh in the game. Like, I didn't know why. Like, he's the only one that didn't play.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and so much more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts, hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gambling helpline ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start, gamesensema.com, or call 1-800-GAM-1234. All right. I did mention that we were going to overreact to everything because it's still very early on in the season. So let's overreact a little bit more. As you both know, right now, the Celtics are the only undefeated team in the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference, a little more competition. Nuggets and Mavs are still up. Warriors, Thunder. So right now, whatever you want to pick, you can pick. But who do you think are some of the best teams? Whether it's the current record right now aside or not, feel free to elaborate on who you think looks the best right now.
Denver and Boston. I think those are, to me, I think that they're, not only are they, I think, playing a little bit better than some of those other teams, they're just built differently to sustain the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows.
Hashtag different here. Look at you. That's their Twitter hashtag.
You like that, huh?
Different here?
Yeah, I think it's just a whole Boston being different.
They couldn't go unfinished business again.
Nah, because that unfinished business wasn't finished. So then they would jinx
really it. We really going to finish unfinished business now. First of all, we're going to finish it. Second of all, we're going to finish.
We here now.
If you want to talk about finishing it won't be
different here.
Continue.
Yeah, you're different. The Celtics and the Nuggets, I think, are just a slight head and shoulders above the others because of the way they're built, because of the way that they've been playing. And because what to me stands out with and more so Boston than Denver is the ability to have different players impact the game significantly. You know, Denver is all about Jokic, but you look at some of the things that Aaron Gordon is doing and Murray and some of the other guys, they've got a multitude of guys stepping up. And in Boston, you know, Tatum, Brown, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Porzingis, you start going down the line, you have two teams that have a lot of hands on deck that are making it so that this team becomes very difficult to beat. And like we touched on earlier, the thing I like about the Celtics, what they're doing is they are simply playing to whatever they need to do to beat you. Like when they look over at the Washington Wizards and realize that that team has a front court that isn't that much bigger than us three right here. And so what do? They play bully ball. And it wasn't just one guy. It was the entire team. One of the first plays they went to, they got a switch with Porzingis and Lillard's behind him. And he's got a little itty bitty Jordan Poole next to him. That is what those great teams are capable of doing. They recognize what they needed to be successful on any given night, and they focus on doing that one thing exceptionally well. And that's why I think Denver and Boston are probably the two best teams. Dallas is going to take a few steps back for all said and done. I just don't think that what they're doing is going to be sustainable. Even though Memphis is at the back of the pack now, 0-1, whatever the hell they are now, I still think that team is going to get right at some point between now and the playoffs and be one of the top five teams out West when all said and done. I ain't giving up on Marcus Smart just because y'all did.
They ain't looking too
hard. I'm with you, Smart. That's my dog.
Well, I'm going to unfortunately agree with Sherrod and go. The Denver Nuggets are still, to me, the best team in the league. They're blowing teams out. They went to Oklahoma City.
Smashed them.
Yeah, had one at Chicago and at Cleveland to begin the season, and they beat up on OKC. Then OKC comes back and beats Detroit. So it's not an OKC problem. Denver's the problem. Denver's a problem for every team in the league. Dallas, I think they're relying a lot on Luka, but I think they need to get better defensively. They have with Derek Lively, the rookie from Duke.
What about Grant?
Grant's doing good. Grant's starting. We're all happy for Grant. Got the starting spot that he needed and wanted and deserved.
Well, he was about to overlook Grant. You saw that, right? He was going to just ease on past him.
Yeah, he forgot.
Put some respect on G. Will.
Yeah, much respect for Grant Williams. I really am happy he's getting his minutes. The team to look out for, though, Sherrod, is the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors, they lost that opener to Phoenix. And they have been sweeping teams. They beat the brakes off the Pelicans. The Pelicans had gotten off to a good start. Right. Steph Curry's playing well. Chris Paul's mixing in with that second unit. Look out for the Warriors. Now, some teams that I think are not as good as I thought. The Lakers, the Los Angeles, they barely beat Orlando last night. They lost to Sacramento the night before. They barely beat Phoenix without Booker and Beal the other night. LeBron had to go 2006 on foos to carry them to the victory. I'm not as convinced with the Lakers with their quote unquote depth as I thought. And it's only game 3 or 4 for some of these teams. They'll figure it out, I guess. But I was expecting more from the Lakers because of their depth. Gabe Vincent isn't playing much. Cam Reddish is back to being Cam Reddish. Like Christian Wood, you know, is working out okay. AD and LeBron are playing well. D'Angelo Russell is still all over the place. How does it feel to be a damn inconsistent D'Angelo? How does it feel? Never mind. Kwani didn't get that. She was like 4 years old.
I know where you were going with that, but I didn't get it. I
didn't expect you to get how does it feel. That's I expect you to get it. Yeah, that was like 97. Kwani was in preschool. Anyways, Kwani was taking lunch pails, lunch money in the jersey.
Look, no responsibilities were had. Okay,
East Orange kids around.
Anyway, so I mean. There's some teams that are up and down, but give it to the Celtics. They have, to me, exceeded expectations so far. We'll see what's up with the next schedule. Milwaukee's a team that's, they got blown out by Atlanta at home with Giannis and Lillard. That was kind of crazy. That was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, Atlanta handled them, and then they come back and beat the Heat. But the Heat's already, like, we could talk about this, and we should talk about this, And you know what? I'm going to blame this on Sherrod. You know why? Sherrod's boy, Joe Dumars, laid down the hammer. It's an 82-game season. Y'all fools better play. He tried to go old school on him, and these youngsters are like, oh, okay, old man. We got your 82 games a season. And this ain't the 90s. I'm taking – oh, my hamstring. I need a game. Oh, my back. Oh, my neck. Oh, Oh, neck spasm. Oh, I can't play. Oh, so Fools is missing just as many games now as they did. Miami rested Adebayo. They rested Jimmy Butler the night after they lost to the Celtics. Donovan Mitchell missed a game along with Darius Garland, missed the loss to Oklahoma City.
In spite of him.
It's crazy. It's in Sherrod's fault. His boy, Joe Dumars, laid the hammer down and them kids was like, oh, you got to tell us what you think we should do? I got something for you, old.
We're not going to do.
This ain't the bad boys.
Like, Gary, here's the problem, Gary, what these young boys don't understand. Uncle Joe is trying to do them a solid. Because Uncle Joe is trying to make sure that when networks are looking to do the new media rights deal, that they have something that is meaty for them to deal with. If they're looking around and saying, damn, we got all these players left and right missing games, I don't know if we should be paying this amount of money that the NBA is looking for. Maybe we should pay this smaller number because we're actually getting less bang for our buck if we pay that top number. So young fellas and not so young fellas who are missing games, y'all keep missing them games right now. Guess what else you're going to be missing? You're going to be missing some of that cheddar. Uncle Joe is trying to
get. Are you saying, see what happens?
See what happens, fool.
That's old school right there. See what happens.
See what happens.
Keep missing them games. See what happens.
Right. They're going to be looking around and be like, where my money? Where my money? Right on the sideline. I'm going to
tell you what
like
happened. Quite don't know about see what happens. That's what your parents will tell you.
It's still funny.
Keep doing that. See what happens. You want to test one of the three? You look under each box and see what prize you get. Like lift an ass whooping in under box one. No video games under box two. Like, yeah, guess one of these boxes for the prize. Yeah, see what happens.
Real talk, though, I feel like the Clippers in their dealings with Philadelphia were kind of playing that. See what happens. Go ahead. Hold out from what you want. See what happens. See what happened. Now look at what they got.
You queued me up perfectly. Let's talk about the trade that everyone's been wanting to talk about or listen to about this entire podcast episode. Gary, your boy...
Our friend,
James
Harden. Our friend Desmond Tutu.
Yeah, you're
known
hero.
As James Harden.
Our friend Mahatma Gandhi.
The most benevolent baller to ever
live. I am James Harden. I will sacrifice $4 million of my $90 million salary to sign other players. Please worship me.
Hey, Gary, don't say I never did enough for you,
Damn, man, sit your ass down, James.
Yeah, the St. James is headed to LA.
He did. That's exactly what he's been doing.
He's
headed to LA to the Clippers. They get James Harden, PJ Tucker, and Philly ends up getting Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, Nick Batum. They get a lot. KJ Martin, some picks as well. Who won this deal in your opinion? But then also, what does this trade mean for Boston?
You know who won this deal?
Nobody.
Philly.
Oh.
Philly. Philly won the deal. I'm going to tell you why. Philly had a player who was just simply sucking up air, taking up space, giving you absolutely zero benefit by keeping him around. You now have brought in a bunch of players who aren't as good as James Harden, but guess what? They go and play. And you get some picks out of it as well. And you just might stumble upon one or two guys that can actually help you win some games. Philadelphia, with James Harden, as dysfunctional as he was not going to win a championship. Without him, at least now you've got some hope of competing for the postseason and actually you might even get out of the first round. But to me, they are the winner simply because they got players who actually can play. I'm not convinced when you start looking at Paul George, you start looking at Kawhi Leonard, you got Russ, and now you got James. That's a lot of ballers who need the ball in their hands to be effective. Who is going to sacrifice? Maybe it'll be the benevolent baller himself, James Harden, who will sacrifice. Because that, you know, that's what
benevolent baller, okay?
The benevolent baller is all about sacrifice. That's Gary's boy. Y'all went the same height. That's your middle school homie.
I'm gonna say.
They go way back, y'all. Yeah, they're trying to act like they don't know each other.
Act like you don't know me. Philadelphia won the trade. Like, because Sherrod, I agree with Sherrod, unfortunately, again. I don't know what's gotten into me. The fact they got Marcus Morris with a chip on his shoulder going back home. Now, Marcus is not the player he once was, and it's tough to see because we saw really good Marcus Morris in Boston.
That was the best version of him,
I think. Like Marcus Morris, like I thoroughly enjoyed his time as a Celtic. I thought I was sad to let him, they let him go to the Knicks and all that, but he's coming with a chip on his shoulder. Nicholas Batum can help you, not greatly like he used to. Robert Covington, same situation. KJ Martin's an athletic, another athlete they can throw in. Because look at what they've done. They've got Embiid balling, Tyrese Maxey taking that next step. Kelly Oubre has been a factor for them, and that was a thing. Kelly's always been kind of up and down, and everybody didn't know, because remember, he didn't sign till late. People weren't unsure how he would react to a winning situation. Can we trust Kelly? Kelly kind of flaky. Kelly kind of do his own thing. But so far, Kelly is within the team and he's taken that third scoring role. So I think Philadelphia has greatly helped themselves. And like Sherrod said, like Harden was at home chilling like bro, man. I mean, he was just eating a sandwich, you know, using Martin's new CD player. You know, it's like,
you're not one of them pepper wings.
Quanta, you get that reference, right?
Yes, I get
Thank
that.
You. From- I was about to.
It's always something with y'all.
Anyway, Harden was chilling. He wasn't going to play. And if you throw him in a game, he was going to half-ass it. So get him out of there. The Clippers, like, if you're talking about the all-star team from 2016, hell yeah, I'm taking Kawhi, Paul, Russ, and freaking James Harden. It's an all-star team. That's in 2016? Yeah. It's 2023. What the hell are we talking about here? Like, Paul and Kawhi, you hope they stay healthy. Russ is 34. And Harden, like, is L.A. a good place for him?
Respectfully.
I saw some memes. I don't know. Well, I mean.
L.A. the spot?
Y'all saw the meme about the strippers that are so excited for him to be in L.A.? I was just going to say it.
I don't know if L.A. is the place. When I was a kid and growing up in L.A., the motto of the city was L.A.'s the place, right?
Yeah.
L.A. might not be.
Rest in peace, your
listeners are from L.A., podcasters, we watching this from L.A., they remember.
Yeah, tag us, let us know.
L.A.'s the place. It is not the place for James Harden. I don't know if it's L.A.'s the place for him to be. Like, you know, you hope that at 33, 34, he matures, but he still likes to get out. And he says, you know what? I can't do what I did in Houston. Like, I can't get out like that. I can't have my crew. I can't have all the homies.
I don't think that's going to happen at 34.
Hell yeah, he can do that.
You hope that he says,
hell yeah, he can do
I'm
that.
Trying to win a chip. And I got to lock in and focus. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure Kawhi, especially in Paul, and even Westbrook will pull him aside and go, okay, James, we know how you roll. Okay. All them dudes got families and stuff. We don't get out like you.
You think they will though? I don't think they pull.
I think they got to tell him to control himself. Like, wait till June when we win a chip. You can spend you can run buck naked down Crenshaw. Like,
who I'll donate a million.
Yeah, go, you know, go.
Gary,
butt naked down Crenshaw and Slauson.
Realistically,
James. This is what's gonna happen. He's going to have an episode where he's going to be rolling when he shouldn't be rolling, doing his part to, you know, his stimulus package for the community of L.A. in his own way of providing him with funds. And they're going to have they're going to have a game where it's going to be clear as day that James just didn't come with it today. That he left whatever game he had, he didn't bring that game to the gym.
He left it at another establishment.
And that's when Paul and
somebody's
gonna
group
together and be like, James, this what just happened. We can't let that happen no more. There's going to have to be a moment like that. And Ty Lue, they're going to have that happen for him to rein him in. Because if you come at him before he does something, it's going to go in one ear right out.
He'll get defensive, yeah.
Just like it always has with him. I mean, this is just who he is.
And let's be real, these are grown men. Like, they should know at this point. I imagine they realize whether good or bad, they are held accountable for their decisions. But there's only so much you can say to someone until, like you said, it blows up where you can actually butt in and be like, yo, like, do you want to win here? Or what exactly is your agenda?
Yeah. He's at that point now where he ain't changing. Yeah. This is the change that you're talking about, Gary, should have happened at 30, 31, when you still have major game left and you had a chance to win a chip. And now,
why don't we talk to James Harden?
I'm not talking to James Harden. That's Gary. Let's
write a letter to James. A letter.
Dear
James.
An open letter.
Open letter to Jay Harden.
You don't know who I am.
James, I'm going to channel my inner James Evans and talk to you like that.
Oh, good. James Evans.
Give him the James Evans speech.
You know who we should get to talk to? God bless his soul. Is Mr. Jones, Craig's daddy from Friday. What the hell are you out there in the street for?
That would work.
Out there shooting jumpers. He should be in the gym. What the hell are you doing?
Put that down, boy.
Who are you supposed to play for the Clippers?
Yeah.
I think it'd be a success.
Yeah, on the strip club. Yeah, like, we need... What's gone in our community is the old school father.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. Know,
the James Evanses. I used to say the Carl Winslows. You know,
the I was Mr. a big Jones. Fan of Carl Winslow. James Evans was my dude.
The Mr. Joneses. The authoritarian father. James Harden. And I think all of us hope for the best. Like, because he's such an entertaining player when he's on, when he's engaged, he's locked in. He's so fun to watch. You know, he has changed the game, and not for the necessarily positive, but offensively changed the game. Everybody does the four steps after they like stop. He invented that. Like, everything that offensively, his moves, his arsenal, getting to the line, locking dudes' arms up, like, that's James Harden. So for me, it's fun to watch him when he's locked in. When he was busting the Celtics' ass, it was like, damn, that's real old school 2015 James Harden. It's 2023. Can he do that as often? And will he be focused enough in Los Angeles, in LA, to stay focused for a whole season? There's 79 games left. Like, that's a long season. You know, and I know people, the strip club owners, or, you know, the wild, you know,
they got a draft pick. It's like they got the number one draft.
Players Club.
They got the Wimby. They got the Wimby of strip clubs. The
Players Club is reopening. The Players Club is reopening. You know,
we are expanding hours of service.
With God bless, with God bless our friend Bernie Mac. You know, trouble. Like the Players Club is opening. All the everybody's ramping up because Harden's back in town. So let's hope he. I just want to see him at his best and see how good they can be when all the four guys are locked in. That's all I got. No more strip.
I like it. So, quickly, let's add a game of pick and roll to this. Sherrod, you mentioned how Boston and Denver were your number ones on the East and West, respectively. So, pick and roll, Boston or Denver, who do you think is most impacted by this trade?
I would say that the Celtics, only because, you know, Philly now is a little bit more scrappy, a little more feisty, a team that I still think the Celtics are significantly better than. But if you meet them in the playoffs, it's probably going to be a harder series now than it would have been if they would have kept James Harden and kept their team status quo. Whereas when I look at the Clippers, to me, they got to have the perfect storm in order to really challenge Denver. Like, they've got to have a healthy Kawhi, a healthy Paul George, a kind of a 3-4 years ago version of Westbrook. And the wild card in all this, James Harden, is he going to be able to blend in with that group without being a standout for all the wrong reasons? A lot of things have to go a certain way for that Clippers team to really be a serious, legitimate threat to Denver. So, and whereas Philly, you just know they're not going to win a championship, but they're going to play hard. They're going to be a much harder playing team and a tougher team to get past if you see them in the playoffs.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I agree with Sherrod again. Oh, boy. I think it affects the Celtics more because now Philly knows who they are. They know the players are coming in. They know what they need to do. Nick Nurse no longer has to worry about how am I going to get through to James Harden. He is gone. The players are going to come in. They're going to be motivated. Remember, Robert Covington's played there before during the tough times of the process. So he's back. He's back in one of his old teams. Marcus Morris is from Philly. He's Philly proud. I mean, ain't no more Philly than Marcus Morris.
I love that dude.
Nicholas Batum, a total pros pro, so he'll do whatever he's supposed to do. KJ Martin, obviously an athlete, a guy who probably needs to be in a more of a winning situation than he was in Houston. So I think the Philly can ramp up and get excited. And now with Nick Nurse as a coach, take a positive step forward and say, listen, we can compete with Milwaukee and Boston in the East. I think Philly's thrilled about this because they got kind of what they wanted. They didn't get Terrence Mann. Where the Clippers, like Sherrod said, like everything got to go right, and things just don't go right for the Clippers. I covered the Clippers many, many years ago, and they can't get right then.
Was Pooh Martin on the team then, Gary?
Pooh Richardson, yes.
Richardson?
And Derek Martin, yes.
That's, yeah. They're one in the same.
Pooh Martin, Derek Richardson, you know. Both
exactly.
They both went to UCLA. That's the commonality. So, like, the Clippers in 19, they signed Kawhi. They blew a 3-1 lead in the bubble. Lou Williams got caught with the chicken wings. Cats didn't want to come to the bubble. They weren't engaged. Then injuries have taken over the last few years. So with the Clippers, you're sort of waiting for the shoe to drop. Like, y'all ain't going to be completely healthy and completely engaged. And the one dude who can mess it up, as we talked about, is James Harden. So, but I don't think this makes him the best team in the West. I think they're going to need 20 to 30 games to figure out how Harden works into the offense. But if he's engaged, they're a real contender. I don't know about Denver, but I do think they're in that second tier.
Quickly looking ahead to the next few games before we reconvene for our podcast, they play the Pacers at home, the Nets in Brooklyn, the Timberwolves in Minnesota. I think we'll record by then. So those next three games, what are your expectations from the Celtics? And is there any matchups particularly that you're looking forward to the most?
What you got, Gary?
Well, yeah, all of them. Indiana's a tricky team. They've been a little bit up and down, but they got a lot of talent. Remember, Bruce Brown, Obi Toppin's now with Halliburton. Buddy Hield's still there. Our friend Aaron Nesmith signed an extension with him. So they view him as kind of a piece for the future. Our friend Daniel Tice, who looked like Detlef Schrempf, like a dominant player in the world championships.
That's right. Put some respect on his name,
Gene. I cannot.
Put some respect on Milo's daddy.
But, so that's an interesting game. Brooklyn, Cam Thomas, Sherrod's buddy, Cam Thomas, the kid from LSU. I think he got 100 points in his first three games. Like,
yeah,
he's putting them up. And so,
he don't play no defense, but he gets you buckets.
But they'll score, and that's a dangerous team. And then, Minnesota, the Ant-Man, that's a tough place for them to play. So three challenging games. If the Celtics don't focus, they should win all three. But three challenging games and three games that should test them. And that's what, at this point, you don't want to see them win every game by 30. You want to see them get tested. You want to see them how they defend Thomas, how they defend Anthony Edwards, how they deal with Gobert, how they deal with Miles Turner. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a nice little intriguing stretch for them.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we've seen from the Celtics so far is their ability to adapt to whatever opponent they're facing. When they have a team that's weak in the front court, they play bully ball. When they've got a team that maybe is a little bit more rigid around the middle, they kill them from outside. And defensively, their ability to just rotate and that 2-1-2 full court press that is really, really good. It certainly gave Washington some problems, and it would be something that they'll utilize from time to time as we go through the season. But for me, when I look at this upcoming stretch, I look at how are they going to handle the marquee players for their opponents? Are they going to be able to minimize their impact and maybe let some of the second tier, third tier players around go loose, or are they just going to suffocate the entire team? And they've shown the ability to really take away the top score or minimize them. You look at Jimmy Butler was a non-factor. You go back to Jalen Brunson, didn't really do much. Jordan Poole got some buckets. But when you start looking at what specifically Derek White and Jrue Holiday have been able to do to opposing top tier guards under opponents, it's insane. You go back and look at the first two games where you have Jalen Brunson and you had Jimmy Butler. They were a combined 0-for-8 when they were guarded by either Derek White or Jrue Holiday. And last night, or the other night, what's his name? Jordan Poole, he was like, I want to say like 3-for-7, 3-for-8 when he was guarded by those guys. So they, again, the Celtics are showing the ability to not only deliver dominant play at the point of attack at that point guard, shooting guard position, but then you got to think about, damn, Tatum is giving me 30. Damn, Jalen is giving me 30. Damn, Porzingis could give me 25 and 10. That collectively makes them, and Al isn't playing major minutes, but Al's getting you like 6, 7, 8 rebounds in like 15 minutes. The Celtics have shown the ability to adapt their roster and their rotations to whatever they need to do to put others in a very tough spot. And their ability to, and we talked about this earlier, having a business-like mentality about it, that's huge for them. And that's why they're, again, they're going to be one of, if not the last team standing in the East, if they continue to play with that mindset and stay healthy.
And for those who are curious, right before our next podcast episode, well, right after the next episode, the Celtics will take on that new look Philly team. So you'll be able to see what they look like over there as well. But until then, we have a lot to look forward to this season, as we've said already. Any final words, co-host?
Respectfully.
No. Disrespectfully.
No, I'm just looking at Gary's light, you know, magic glow light microphone. Yeah.
Showing us up.
Well, it should be some good basketball. The Celtics are off to a good start. And we'll see how everything kind of shakes out. It looks like the starting lineup is set. Horford's comfortable coming off the bench. And we'll see how they take on the rest of the league. But so far, after a week, they look like one of the best teams.
And now your boy James is home, Gary. So, you know.
James is home.
LA your is boy. Your place. Classmate.
Full circle. Well, we want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the A-List Podcast. I'm Kwani Lunis, A'Shaun Blakely, Gary Washburn. We'll be back next week with another edition of the A-List Podcast.
FanDuel is the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL.
Ever wish you could navigate the betting field with the confidence of a pro? Enter Odds Are. They're not a sports book, but they're the sports betting advisor you always needed. It's like having a playbook for smarter bets right in your pocket. I've been absolutely loving the experience, and I think you will too, especially since Celtics All Access listeners get a 30-day free trial. Elevate your game day and join the smart betting revolution. Go get it at oddsr.com/Celtics. That's oddsr.com/Celtics.